Welcome to this audio sermon presented by Blue Letter Bible. Due to the fragile nature of cassette tape storage, a portion from the middle of this teaching became inaudible. Fortunately, we do not believe any of the spiritual content or the applications contained within the rest of this message have been affected. We thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless the time you spend in His Word.
We're taking four Christmas texts this month. Last week we looked at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, which taught us about the fullness of time had come. God sent forth His Son. Now in the book of Luke, in chapter 1, we're going to learn about the angel's announcement to Mary. And let's read this passage, Luke 1, 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, now let me just pause a moment to talk about the sixth month. It means the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth, relatives of Mary, Elizabeth was barren, could not bear children. But God had in mind to bring forth John the Baptist through Zacharias and Elizabeth. And while she is not a virgin, yet it's a miraculous birth in that up to that point she could bear no children. John the Baptist is going to be born through Elizabeth. She is 6 months pregnant. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged or betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Hail, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting or announcement this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, I keep saying that in order to interpret correctly, we have to find the purpose. So let's talk about the purpose of the book of Luke. As he begins his letter, he writes to a man named Theophilus. He says he's going to relate to Theophilus all that happened regarding Christ. Now, Luke is a medical doctor and an historian. So he gives us facts and history that's different than Matthew, Mark, and John. So he writes this way, details of the birth and so on. So his purpose for the whole book is to relate to this man, Theophilus, all that he knew about what had happened in the days of Christ. Theophilus is said to be Luke's sponsor. That is, he provided the living and the finances for Luke to go to school and get the training, become a doctor and a historian. So he's writing to this man. So that's the purpose of the book. So Luke is going to explain the birth, the virgin birth. And he includes this paragraph that we just read about the angel Gabriel sent from God to Nazareth to the virgin. So we could say about this paragraph, the purpose is to reveal to Mary that the Savior will be born through her, a virgin, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the thing that leaps out at us immediately is this angelic announcement from Gabriel. Now, we don't know the names of the angels necessarily. They are separated into cherubim and seraphim. They are called elect angels, and they're called wicked angels. Jesus said that. So that when Satan rebelled against God, it says he drew a third of the angels with him. They are the wicked angels. The others are called elect angels. So even among the angels, there is an election by God to do what he wills with them. Gabriel, we are acquainted with because he is the angel who is named by name that came to Daniel approximately 500 to 600 years before Gabriel was sent from God to Daniel to give him prophecies about the end time. So now here comes Gabriel again. He is the messenger. And that's what the word angel means, messenger. So he has come from God with a message, with an announcement. He is on assignment and he's going to carry it out. He comes to Mary. So he is the announcer. Who is the receiver? Well, is it a queen? Would God send a message and choose a well-known person of high social status to be the bearer of the Son of God? No, he comes to Mary. We don't know a lot about Mary, a simple girl living in the city of Nazareth. God didn't send the message to Rome, the center of the world, but he sent it to Nazareth, to Mary. She receives it. Now, so we have the announcer and we have the receiver. What about the content? What did the angel come and announce to Mary? He said in verse 28, "Hail, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." So God is telling Mary, you are blessed, you are favored. That is, you are the object of grace. And this word favor gives a connotation that there is no personal merit. Mary is not better morally or mentally or any other way than the rest of the women. It is the grace of God that he favors her among women. From all these Jewish girls who were hoping that the Messiah would be born through them, he chooses Mary. It is a selection. And so election becomes a basic truth for us among the angels. Among the women whom God would choose, he chose Mary, the chosen one, the object of grace. And when she saw him, she was troubled and said, "What manner of greeting is this?" He said, "Don't be afraid. Here's what's going to happen." Verse 31. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. So the angel comes to her. And we don't know what time of day or night or what she was doing. Maybe she's doing household chores and there's no doorbell or anything. And Gabriel probably didn't even knock. She looks up and he's standing there. And she could recognize him as an angel, probably, because of the announcement. You will conceive in your womb, bring forth a son. Startling, isn't it? Just absolutely startling to this girl. She has no husband. She is a virgin. And he says, you're going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. Gabriel now goes ahead to give the identity of the son, his name. You will call his name Jesus. And she did. Next week, we're going to study the visit of the angel to Joseph. And the angel said to Joseph, your wife Mary is going to bear a son. You call his name Jesus. And they did. This becomes his human name. Christ is his eternal name, his eternal title, as the anointed one. Jesus is the human name, which comes from the Hebrew name Joshua, which means Savior. His name is Jesus, and then he gives him his title. Verse 32, he will be great. What a word to use. We use that word all the time. I find myself using that word just constantly. Great. I said, that is great. And that seems like there's no way to replace that word. He will be great. He is great in the manger. He is great at the cross. He will be great in coming again as the King of Kings. And he is great because of his authority. He is great because of his character. He is great because of his compassion. He will be great. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Is he great to you? I mean, really great. And you think of him that way, and that's what comes to your mind when you think of Jesus. He's great. And what we think of him is all important. Jesus asked that question to the disciples. He said, what do you think of Christ? And they gave certain answers. And he said, what do the people think of Christ? And they gave answers. And Peter replied, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because God had revealed that to him. We really shouldn't be a church unless we believe he is great. And it's our purpose to proclaim his greatness. He shall be great. And he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not temporary. It's not political. It rises above and beyond everything human. And when we're in his kingdom, we are in his eternal kingdom. This is the identity of the Son. You call his name Jesus, he will be great, he will be the Son of the Highest, he will have the throne of his father David, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now Mary is hearing all this, and she's listening carefully because she gives a response in verse 34. Here's her initial response. Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Now, let me remind you of the importance of this word, know, K-N-O-W. It's far more than knowledge. Biblically, it means a close, personal, intimate relationship, referring to married physical life. That word is used in Genesis 3, where it says, "And Adam knew his wife." They had a marriage relationship. And using the word here refers to a marriage relationship. How can this be, since I, in a sense, do not have a husband? I have never known a man. And so Mary asked this question. And in verse 29, she is included in her initial response. When she saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this would be. So Mary has some wonder and awe, and she is amazed and asks a logical question. This is the right question, Mary. You've heard it, but you've heard something divine, something miraculous, something that is beyond the human realm. And she said, "How can it be, since I do not know a man?" Now then comes the angelic explanation. Gabriel has made an announcement, and Mary has thought about it and asked the question. Now he's going to explain it. Verse 35, "The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.'" And this is the explanation that the angel gives to Mary. Since she is a virgin and going to bring forth a son, how is it going to happen? The angel says to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will cause the birth of the Son of God. He will use you as the human instrument, but God himself will bring forth the human birth of his son." And he uses an interesting term here where he says the power of the Highest will overshadow you. And the term refers to a cloud. And in the Old Testament, we have God leading his people in the daytime by a cloud over the ark, over the tabernacle. And at night, it's a pillar of fire. What do these symbolize? The presence of God. The overshadowing by the Holy Spirit is that the presence of the Holy Spirit in you will cause a miraculous conception in your womb. And that will be the birth of Jesus, the Son of God. This is divine energy, not human. It is the creative divine presence of God. Creative power that is no mystery to us. We who are believers have no trouble with this at all. To say that the Holy Spirit can produce a miraculous birth is no trouble to us. But to an unbeliever, it is serious trouble. They will argue, they will stumble, they will do everything they can scientifically to prove it totally impossible, and it's a great problem. It's no problem to us because we believe in God's creative power. We have the example of Adam. Adam appears on the scene of history with no other human being only God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, angels, Adam, human. How did that happen? From God Himself in creative power, who molded a body out of the chemical content of the earth, the dust of the earth, He calls it, and He breathed into him the breath. So we have one way for God to do this. Then from Adam is created Eve. So God's creative power can, from one human being, create another. So there's two ways. Then He can join two human beings, male and female, and create Cain and Abel, other people. God has three ways we know of creative power, and now here's the fourth. Through a virgin, the Holy Spirit can breathe into her the breath of life so that she conceives in her womb and becomes the mother of the Son of God. And this is not what has come to be known in Catholic circles as an immaculate conception, meaning that Mary is sinless. Therefore, it's a human capability of bearing the Son. Not in any way. Mary is a sinful descendant of Adam and a sinner, and this is simply God's grace. It is a miraculous conception because it takes place by the fact of God's sovereignty. Now, the angel Gabriel is going to encourage Mary to prompt her faith a little bit to see that this could be, because he says, well, now, how about Elizabeth, your relative? In her old age, probably 50, so, no, I don't know how old she is anyway. He's old. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. And she is now pregnant, going to bear a son. And for with God, nothing will be impossible. Isn't it interesting what the angels knew and the information and the thoughts they had about God? Here's a clear declaration of God's sovereignty. For with God, nothing is impossible. Let's memorize that verse today and keep it in our life. And so now we have the final response of Mary in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed. Now, so we could call this mission accomplished. Gabriel, sent from God, comes to announce to Mary that through her, a virgin, the Son of God will be born by miraculous birth. Now Mary surrendered. And the angel departed. Mission accomplished. Gabriel did his job. And Mary has responded. And she responds in the surrender of faith, where she heard the message. And she believes in God's greatness and power. She doesn't understand it all. But she says, "Let it be unto me according to your word." That's faith. That's the only position we can have as a Christian. We don't understand everything. We don't know all about God. But we know that with God, all things are possible. And we surrender to that. And we say, "Lord, we accept your sovereign providence in our life." And this is true surrender to the Lord. In a sense, she was saying, "Lord, I will trust you." And how do we trust him? We trust him on the basis of his word. God sent Mary his word. We respond to the word. That's faith. But when we respond to the Lord, that's trust. So faith and trust Mary expresses. And the angel departs. What a message. This is Christmas. This is the angelic announcement to Mary. Now, what are we to think about that for ourselves this morning? Our being born again, our new birth, occurs in exactly the same way. The same way in which Christ was born in Mary is the way that he is born in us. We say we are born again. We say we are people of the new birth. How'd that happen? By a miracle of the Holy Spirit, breathing the breath of life into us and bringing Christ into our life spiritually. The way we are born spiritually is the way Christ was born in Mary physically. What happened to her physically is what happens to us, to the elect, spiritually. It is a new birth. Christ is born in us spiritually. Now that's what it takes to be a Christian. It takes more than just a simple cliche of words. It means something real has occurred that brings profound change in our life. Now, there are vital ingredients. First of all, there's the Word of God. The Word of God comes. People hear the Word of God in some way. They hear the message of the gospel. They have the Word of God. And that Word of God is planted within the heart by the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit imparts faith to the believer, and he takes these two things and mixes them together. He takes the Word of God, mixes it with faith that he gives, and produces a miracle. In the case of Mary, it was the birth of Christ. In our case, it's the birth of Christ spiritually within us. The Holy Spirit does that. He takes the word and the faith imparted, mixes them together, produces a miracle. Now, we need to know this. To become a Christian is no less a miracle than Mary experiencing the birth of Christ in her as a virgin. It's no less a miracle. We are living miracles. To express faith in the Word of God and trust in God as our Savior for forgiveness and eternal life is a miracle. And it's beyond human ability. It is beyond human decision. It isn't because we decided. It's because God did it and we respond. And we want to be sure, as we witness to relatives and friends, we don't give them a soft little patsy answer that will make them feel better so they can say certain words and we can say they're Christians. We could settle for nothing less than this: Christ in us. He is born in us. And we have really turned to him and desire to worship him. Not easy, patsy answers.
At this point in the original tape, a portion of the teaching was unrecoverable. We will now continue with the rest of the message.
Not what tickles ears or what makes people happy, but the real change to come under the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to take Mary's surrender as an example. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this message from Gabriel. Thank you for sending Gabriel to Mary. And thank you for the direct announcement. And then we thank you for so working in Mary's life that she just makes herself available to you and gives a response of faith and surrender and trust. We thank you for that. Thank you for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. and for including us in your electing grace and mercy, so that in this year of 1994 AD, we are here worshiping the Christ, who is not a baby, but who is the adult sacrificial lamb, and who is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We worship this morning. Thank you that you have brought about our new birth, and that just as you formed Christ in Mary physically, so he is in us spiritually this morning. Father, we're grateful. We thank you and praise you and love you, and ask that you take our lives and to put us under your authority and cause us to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.